League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I've got some hot air.
I've got some unhelpful cruise control.
Date Fight!
Hello there, welcome to Date Fight. It's the podcast where we take things that occurred on this day in history and we pitch them against each other.
Yes, we do.
And he's that's the end of it. Sorry. Do you know why I inflected like that? I've said it 200 times.
Yeah, I'm Matt Tapley, and together we have gone into the supermarket of history without a mask. We've stood baffled in front of the events as if they're all mysterious, despite the fact there are people queuing up on us who just want some tinned tomatoes. They know what they want. They've been... Anyway, doesn't matter. Here's Lizzie Roper.
Hello, I'm your babysitter. Your dad said you can stay up till do whatever you like, watch whatever you like, play Fortnite as long as you're in bed by 9:30, and don't play hide the sausage. Get on with it.
Lizzie, just to explain, Lizzie is our guest judge of the week. She will be passing verdict on our offerings.
She's the adult human we've chosen to actually make a judgment as to what should win.
It's accountability, isn't it? Yeah. Lizzie, what are you hoping for today? You know, what do you want? What's going to fire your enthusiasm?
I want something juicy. I like the 1970s. I like it when the
protagonist. We had the 70s yesterday. They lost.
Yeah, but it was a terrible one. I like it when it's led by swarthy men with Italian accents.
Oh, Italian. Okay. I was doing Spanish all those times.
What? Oh, I was doing Newcastle.
Dios mio.
I'm going to take us to the 4th of June 1939 and a story that fulfills none of those criteria as the steamship St. Louis arrives in Florida. On May the 13th, 1939, the St. Louis left Hamburg to go to Cuba with 938 Jewish refugees seeking asylum on board. They all had landing cards for Cuba, but unfortunately while they were on the trip, Cuba changed its immigration laws to ban all immigrants except for Americans with Decree 937. They were led to believe they would be able to arrive with their landing cards, so they got to the docks and were told, nope, it was retroactive and the landing cards they had were no good. At which point, Captain Schroeder gave them good meals and he provided childcare and dances and concerts while they were waiting to work out what they would do. And on the 28th of May, 28 of them were allowed to disembark in Cuba. None of the others were. There were still 910 people on board. So on June the 4th, the St. Louis went to Florida, where Cordell Hull, who was the U.S. Secretary of State who had campaigned for the Cubans to let the ship land, told them to get lost. They wouldn't have them either. Cordell Hull told FDR not to accept the passengers. Captain Schroeder thought about running aground and just letting everyone off, but there were too many Coast Guard vessels around him, so he couldn't get close enough to the rocks on the coast of America. They appealed to Canada, but Frederick Blair, who was the head of immigration there, was very against Jewish immigration and again told them they couldn't land there, so they had to go back to Britain, at which point Neville Chamberlain took 288 of the passengers, which was 32%, and the rest disembarked at Antwerp. Captain Schroeder had told them that he would scuttle the ship if they weren't allowed to disembark. So the rest got off at Antwerp, 244 went to France, 214 went to Belgium, and 181 went to Holland. In the next year, however, France, Belgium and Holland were all overrun by Nazi Germany, and about 250 people were recaptured and died in concentration camps. One of the people who was on the ship was Leon Joel, who was the great-uncle of Billy Joel. And that's my story for the most important thing on the 4th of June.
You'll never win this, Nat. No, no way.
And there was a sexy Italian man who...
I think you mean Spanish. Well, that's one of those sort of appalling stories, yeah. Nat. Obviously very important, but also, you know, very, very appalling. And you know, who'd want to celebrate humanity's darkest hours in that way by honouring it with any, you know, however notorious... All right, I've got the 4th of June. Still right. I've got the 4th of June 1977 and three hot Italian guys.
Excellent.
Record the YMCA.
Yes. The 4th of June, 1783. In fact, I'm going to go 1783 and then 1784. Because in 1783, the Montgolfier brothers publicly demonstrate their Montgolfière. How did they come up with that name? Hot air balloon. 1 year later, I'm more interested in talking about Elizabeth Thibble, who becomes the first woman to fly in an untethered hot air balloon. Her flight covers 4 kilometres in 45 minutes and reached 1,500 metres in altitude. Estimated. They didn't have tape measures that long in those days.
She could have let
an
a piece of string
side
down.
Side note. originally, it was supposed to be Count Jean-Baptiste de Laurencin. But the Count said, do you know what? I'm going to let Elizabeth Thibble have my... How about that? And absolutely nothing to do with the fact that earlier that year there'd been a 12-minute flight which had ended somewhat dramatically where the balloon started to catch fire. But the Count was like, no, I think I'm all right. Send that woman. Yeah. Send that woman instead of me.
He gave it to her a birthday present.
She's a smoker.
She certainly worked it. She dressed as the Roman goddess Minerva. And
how did she dress?
She's got a Minerva.
as you could clearly see as the balloon ascended. But
unfortunate gust of wind.
Yes, there was a bumpy landing, and she twisted her ankle. But she was credited with much of the success of the flight because she fed the balloon's firebox en route and exhibited remarkable courage. Feed the firebox.
Well done, Elizabeth Thibble.
Elizabeth, feed it.
Let's go to the birthdays and the death days. Happy birthday to Philippa of England, who was Queen of Denmark, Norway and Sweden. Her father was Henry IV, her brother was Henry V, but her husband, the King of Denmark, Norway and Sweden, changed the law to make her regent while he was off having battles. She organised the defence of Copenhagen against the Hanseatic League, and she... that's about it. She did lots of things. She was very exciting. But the last bit was a real downer, so I'm not going to tell you that. We'll save that for another time. Happy birthday to George Heriot, who was James IV's goldsmith and came to London when he became King of England and James I of England. After his death, he established a school for orphans, Heriot's Hospital, which still exists and gives free education to the sons and daughters of widows or widowers. Happy birthday to the permanently disgruntled actor with a face like a disappointed paper bag full of custard. It's Jeffrey Palmer. Happy death day to Mary de Bohun, who was Philippa of England's mother. She was the wife of Henry IV, but she died when he was still Henry Bolingbroke. She had a brother, Giver Dogger de Bohun. No, she didn't. That's not true.
I was going to say she was the mother of Jim de Bohun.
She was kidnapped by her brother-in-law, Thomas of Woodstock, because she was going to inherit a lot of land. So her brother-in-law locked her up in a castle and said, now you've got to be a nun and give me all your land. But she escaped out the window and married Henry Bolingbroke instead.
She was literally a nun on
a Bowen.
The run.
Oh. Happy death day to Giacomo Casanova, the 18th century Italian adventurer whose exploits used to sound thrilling but now just sound exhausting. Also, happy death day to Dick Brown, the cartoonist who came up with Hagar the Horrible and who had an utterly sensible name. That's Dick Brown, cartoonist.
Oh, God.
All of which brings us to Lizzie Roper and her judgment on which of our two stories is
should we remember
the
this
good
Dave?
One. Yeah. Which is a good story, Lizzie? Which story did you come away from going, that was a good story? And which one did you come away from thinking, that's terrible?
Well, a very noble, glorious tale of the retroactive cruise with high stakes versus... Elizabeth Thibble and her unnatural ability to feed a fire.
With her box.
With her box. Oh, well, you know what it's going to be, don't you?
No.
It's going to be time for somebody to act out.
I'm not acting out the cruise of death.
No, yeah. you can play a character in Jake's... No. You... Okay. So, I need Elizabeth Thibble, played by Nat.
Okay.
And Jake plays the bloke who is convincing her to get on the basket.
Okay.
And scene.
Oh, for me? What is it?
It's a fun ride. It's a fun ride. Get on the fun ride.
You said that
ride.
Before. That wasn't fun at all. I got pregnant.
Yeah. Well, so if I... you wasn't supposed to sit on my lap. There's...
Oh, I see.
Get on the ride and okay. You won't burst into flames. 100%.
Into this spot. I just climb in over that. Okay.
That's it. Oh, and then stand next to that huge roaring fire under a hugely inflammable...
Oh, it's really quite sultry in here.
I think I'm going to get you pregnant again.
Thank you. And scene. And scene. Oh, that's marvellous. Thank you very much for that, because...
did that help you to really visualise it?
It really did. That really tightened everything up. Nat Chuff. That's Nat Tapley has enabled Jake to win.
Oh, dear.
It was very... It was the finest Elizabeth Teeble I've ever heard. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
It was a very convincing Teeble. Right. Yeah. So what's the score at the moment? I have absolutely no idea.
I think you may have won. I don't know. It depends on what it was on Tuesday, which I've forgotten. It's either 3-2 or 4-1. You.
What happened on Tuesday? Who am I? Where am I? Who's the Prime Minister?
Well, let's say it's 3-2 in the interest
to manufacture some drama. Kind of, let's yeah. Come back tomorrow to find out what happens then.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hope it doesn't go to 3-3 again.
Who could possibly imagine? We will see you tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's @date_fight.
And at Facebook, it's facebook.com/datefight.
And don't forget to follow Lizzie Roper on Twitter because she's a scream. It's @LizzieIERoper. That's Lizzie Roper. Okay, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.